Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Clint Sterner and the show on Sports Radio 610 with the 5 o'clock fire. Presented by Traeger, your full-service safety partner.
That's right, it's 5 o'clock and it is draft night for the Texans. 34 picks away. 34 picks away. And the real fun begins here in Houston as the Texans and Nick Caserio, Jack Easterby and crew, this is their first pick in the draft since they have taken over the front office. And Clint, right now, it is 5 o'clock. You'll be here all night doing the coverage with the boys. What is it? Where do they need to be looking to go?
Well, look, I think we're splitting hairs if we are pissed off about if they go corner instead of D-line. But I do think that's where they need to go, is at defensive lineman or corner, depending on best available at those two positions. I tell you what, if you look at how the first round played out, show, is there were several corners went off the board. I believe four corners came off the board. There were four or five, hell, maybe even six defensive ends came off the board in the first round. That leads me to believe that the interior defensive line position has not been touched. In fact, I know it. There wasn't one interior defensive lineman selected in the first round. Now, some people will look at that and say, well, this is a weak interior defensive line draft. Okay, I get it. Weak is one thing. But you mean to tell me there's not five to six really solid, quality, NFL caliber interior defensive linemen that are coming out of college this season to enter the draft?
I think there were five to six guys in this draft right now that could have played for the Texans and their run defense at defensive tackle last year.
All day, every day, and twice on Sunday. So that's the point, right? So, hey, look, when you get there at pick 67, if there's a corner that you've had your eye on for one reason or another, I'm not going to be mad at it. Hell, if there's a defensive end that you've had your eye on for one reason or another, I'm not going to be mad at it. But as I thought all along, I think specifically if we're nailing this thing down as tight as we possibly can, I think interior defensive line was the number one priority for the Texans on my list. And after watching the first round, having not one single interior defensive lineman come off the board, I think that's where they need help, and I think that's where there could possibly be the best available for the Houston Texans at 67.
All right, Clint, let me throw it to you at this, because there's a lot that they need to look at. 34 picks away. We've talked about the defense, right? And I know you're anti-offensive side of the ball. You've been there. But if they get to that point and they look up there and they look at the draft board and there may be an offensive player there, what's the position that you say, okay, I can live with that move if the Texans did this on the offensive side of the ball?
Boy, I've really jumped all over the place on this the more I look. Man, the running back room is old and is going to need some help by the time this team turns the corner. So I thought running back. I can get with your talk of the wide receivers. I can understand that. Not a slot, but a big-bodied outside wide receiver that physically has a physical advantage.
That you might be a playmaker.
I can understand that. But I tell you, man, if I had my pick, I would go interior offensive line. I think at both guard positions they struggled last year. I think there's hopefully they've got that sewn up with some of the guys that they've signed. But again, just like defensive line, there's multiple positions that you have to fill. Offensive line, interior offensive line. Most of those guys can play guard, center, guard. I think you've got to find three guys that can do that at an NFL level, at a high level in the NFL. I don't know that the Texans have found that. So if you're going to go on offense, interior offensive line, I don't know that there was there one guard? There was one guard taken yesterday.
The Jets went to go get him.
Yep, there was one guard taken yesterday. No centers taken. So there should be plenty of interior offensive linemen available at 67 as well.
That's why I like that thought. If you're going to go offense, listen, I'm about – they don't have, a legit playmaker on the field. I'm not. I know it's hard to do that. You're not finding Ja'Marr Chase in the third round. But they don't have a legit playmaker on the field. So receiver I'm fine with. But being that there's only been one guard or center taken in the entire draft, and I don't necessarily think that you're sewn up there, especially at center, that ain't bad. To find a center in the third or fourth, that ain't bad. So if you're going to go offense, I like that. Where the draft has fallen currently, that's not bad.
We all know, so that's where you build stability.
Because it's foundation is what they're doing right now.
That's where you build staying power, show. And so to me, look, that's where you have multiple positions that need to be filled. If you draft one guard, odds are that guy, all he's got to do is get inside your top three interior offensive lineman, and he can help you, right? A defensive lineman, all he's got to do is be able to help you at the interior defensive line position. He can help you at two positions. A corner's got one slot, right? A receiver has got one spot. A running back has got one spot. I just like the idea of premium draft picks at positions where ultimately you need more than one of. That's my justification for inside interior offensive line and interior defensive line. And, hey, you don't want to look up 2 or 3 years from now and you go, well, our offensive line's not right. Our defensive line's not right. That's hard to fix, man.
34 picks away and 54 minutes left before the second round starts.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, news from the Astros. And Clint, Houston Astros manager Dusty Baker says that Yordan Alvarez will be back in the lineup today as they take on the Tampa Bay Rays.
Diarrhea.
He had gone on and missed a couple games or a game for health and safety protocols, but he is back in the lineup, batting fourth. Los is batting fifth. Batting fourth, back in the lineup, and it's good to have the big fella back in there.
Absolutely, man. Look, this is music to everybody's ears. We talked about it.
Run when he was out.
When it first happened, you know, you worry about it. You worry about one issue turning into 4, 5, 6, 6, or 7, right?
Yep.
And so this is music to Houston Astros fans' ears now. Big boys back in the lineup, and more importantly, the issue didn't spread to any longer or any other players.
Yeah. So they get back, like we said, man. They only scored one run. He's out. And almost got no hit, so it's good to have the big fella in the lineup tonight. Yuli Gurriel gets a night off for the first time, so he's out of the lineup today, but they still should have enough as they have a rematch for the ALCS against the Tampa Rays.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, last night, step back in the first round of the draft. It was must-see TV. Clint, who were the winners for you last night? If you had a couple winners. Who were the winners for you last night coming out of the draft?
I got Jacksonville. Look, this is obvious. No one player is going to be better than any two players. So that Jacksonville having two picks was a big winner for me. Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne. I think those are two guys that are immediate starters. They're best players in this draft at their position, both quarterback and running back. I think they both come out of an organization that's championship caliber. They've been leaders in the Clemson Tiger organization. I think they'll help Jacksonville on and off the field. And look, the New York Jets, they win. I Zach Wilson, I like his style of play. I don't know if it's going to work in the league. I don't know if it's going to work in a organization that hasn't done very well developing or protecting quarterbacks. Zach Wilson is a slight build with a freestyle of play. That's usually means he's going to stay injured. That scares me a little bit. But the New York Jets, Zach Wilson and Elijah Vera Tucker, there's nothing better than, hey, I want this quarterback. We've known it for a while. And then we're going to go ahead in the first round with that second pick. We're going to go ahead and take somebody that can help protect him as well. So I'd say winners are Jacksonville and the New York Jets.
All right. I like the Bears, a team that desperately needed a starting quarterback. And I think you would agree. I believe myself they got the second best quarterback in the draft.
Agreed.
And they didn't have to go crazy. They move up from 20 to 11, and they go up and get Justin Fields. And so I think they win, especially with that. That's an organization that its fan base is kind of meh on them. Now in Chicago, they are feeling amazing today and loving what's going on and really in a good place about their organization. And if they can handle things right, I think Justin Fields is a franchise-level quarterback.
I can get down with that. Regardless of whether we think he's the first, I did think he was the second-best quarterback, but regardless of where you think he is, I mean, look, he's clearly one of the better quarterbacks in this draft, and he's got an extremely high ceiling. With the film that is out there, was pretty damn good. 67 touchdowns, 9 interceptions in his career. What did he do? Would you say he lost 2 games in his career?
20-2. Someone texted in earlier and said he's not a consistent winner.
Yeah, and look, and if people want to complain about the two tough games he had this season against, who was it, Indiana and Northwestern? Those are 2 tough games. Yeah, he may have struggled. But before you get to talking trash, why don't you go look at that Clemson game, because that was his best game against equal or better talent, and my man showed up and showed out in a big way.
Who didn't you like last night? Whose draft didn't you like last night?
Green Bay. I didn't like Green Bay taking Eric Stokes, the corner out of Georgia.
Just keep pissing him off.
Has nothing to do – right, exactly. Has nothing to do with Eric Stokes, the corner. It has everything to do with the fact that Green Bay just can't seem to get right. I mean – what does that make it, 11 out of 12 or 10 out of 11 drafts now? They've drafted the defensive side of the football in the first round. They've got a disgruntled quarterback because, really, he doesn't have any weapons. And with your most premium pick in the first round, you take a corner. Not that you didn't need it. I just think this would have been a time to go offensive skill. So I think that ultimately that's a lose. And Cincinnati, I love Ja'Marr Chase. I think he's an absolute monster. I think he'll be great in the league. Only thing that's gonna keep Ja'Marr Chase from being really great his first year, literally the first time he steps on the field, is if his quarterback can't stay upright. Penei Sewell, who some will say is the best tackle available in a while, not just this NFL draft, but in a while in the NFL drafts, they could have picked him to protect their quarterback and had that protection for the next 4 to 5 years. They chose not to. We'll see how it works out.
You didn't like the AFC North very much. You didn't like the Ravens either. I know we had talked about the Ravens.
Yeah, I didn't like the Ravens.
They had two picks in there, and the
Ravens had 2 picks.
They went wide receiver.
I got really excited about it. They did go wide. They went wide receiver, defensive end. The wide receiver that they selected was – which big wide receiver did they select out of
– The kid from
Minnesota. What's
Rashad
his name?
Rashad Bateman.
There you go, Rashad Bateman. I like him. Don't love him that early in the first round.
I wonder, does he fit with Lamar? Like that's
yeah.
That's,
you
that's
just you talk a guy, big guy that doesn't create separation. Great. Can he win the 50-50 ball in the league the way he did in college? That's gonna be a crack shoot. It's low percentage anyway. If you can't create separation, man, first round, that's tough. And then on the 31st pick, I'm not even going to try to say the guy's name, but a defensive end out of Penn State who I watched him, his highlights. Boy, he looks like a developmental player. In fact, I think they described him as a developmental player out of Penn State. Wasn't a big fan of what Baltimore did.
All right, Houston, this is going to be maybe one of the last times we discuss it before the Texans pick their pick at pick 67. If a quarterback is there, if a Kellen Mond or a Kyle Trask is there, should the Texans take him? We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
What you have to do is you're working through the draft and the players are coming off and you're kind of looking at the players graded at different levels, right? So you're kind of looking at supply and demand, right? And I don't want to like simplify this to basic economics, right? But you're looking at one position, all right, we have 3 or 4 guys here. Okay, if we lose this one, like we still might have a chance if we did this. Okay, is it worth moving back, get an extra pick? Or you know what? Don't want to risk it, right? He's too good of a player. Like we have a consensus. Coaches like him. Scouts like him. Like he's a good person. He's got good traits. Okay, how smart are we to kind of get too cute, right? So again, you just have to assess the information in real time and then just look at whatever the alternatives are and then decide, like, okay, what makes the most sense at that time.
All right, that is General Manager Nick Caserio. He and his crew will make their
first. That's right.
Okay. That's cute. You got that right in there. That's Nick
Caserio. Nick Corsi.
Whose crutches would you prefer to have? Nick's right not Nick Wright, but Nick's Wright or John McClain's? Well, first of all.
Well, first of all.
I think, well, first of all, I'd rather have that one.
Okay, that's, just ask. Go
that's
ahead.
That's like, hey, I'm going to tell you what it's. Well, first of all, you idiot. Yep. That's what it feels like he's saying to me when he says.
And sometimes it's a pretty basic question.
Brian, let me stop you right there.
He likes to do that too. That's a,
well, sorry.
The general, if you missed any of that, use that Odyssey app and rewind and listen to that 4 o'clock hour as he joined us. But that was Nick Caserio. It's his first draft here with the Texans. And Clint, I'm on one more time. Maybe you guys talk about this later on tonight on Texans Draft Live presented by Mattress Firm. You and Mark Vandermeer and John Harris maybe talk about this again. But one more time before this show ends. Before the draft, 67, 34 picks away. If one of those quarterbacks are there, Kellen Mond, Kyle Trask, if one of those quarterbacks are there, do you pull the trigger on a quarterback if you're the Texans?
Absolutely not. Not no, but hell no. I'll add Davis Mills, I believe.
Davis Mills yours? From Stanford.
From
yes,
Stanford. I'll add him to the mix. I think they're all three going to be there.
Newsom.
They're all three. Newman.
Newman. Did I say Newsom?
You said yeah, Newsom. Newman. That's all right. I like Ozzie. But no, look, all of those quarterbacks are going to be there in the early third round, and they're going to be there for a reason. You know, there's not none of those guys are premium pick quarterbacks. And I don't think anybody out there right now is ready to start drafting a backup or draft for their backup at this point in time. And so I think they're going to be there. Hell no, with a third round pick, 67 overall. If they slide into the fourth round, which I think more than one of them will, then we can talk about it.
I'm not saying I would take them.
It depends on who's on the board at corner and who's on the board at D line and DN. At that point in time, but I would consider it at that point, but I would consider it with, hey, we need a third quarterback here, and we'll see if we can't develop this.
Because it's not even a consideration in the third for you.
No.
What would this is interesting. What would be your expectation? Let's say they went against what you're saying they should do it, and I don't think they should do it either, and I don't think they will. But what if they decided to draft, let's say, Kellen Mond? What would then be your expectation for him? Like if drafted him at three, what would your expectation be for the Texans with him?
With Kellen Mond, it'd be low. Yeah. I mean, it would. That's why it doesn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense. I mean, it's hard to draft in the first and second round a quarterback, and then you know, or draft him with the expectations of playing him early. I mean, we're talking about first round top five guys. Best case scenario for Trey Lance is to sit behind Jimmy Garoppolo for a year, right? I mean, we're talking about a lesser player, by far a lesser player in a situation as positive as the 49ers. If you're talking about the Texans, the organization's in a bad spot, and you're talking about lesser of a quarterback. No, it just doesn't make sense. So my expectations would be very, very low if they were to draft a quarterback in the fourth or fifth round. Would be very, very low. And I quite frankly wouldn't expect him to even be active.
See, my thought would be if they decided this year with no first or second round pick to use their very top draft pick on a quarterback. My expectation would be the thinking is, well, you think this guy can potentially be a guy at least competes for a starting role. Like, if you're going to use the first pick you have, and to me, if you do that, that means the expectation level of that guy as a player shoots up. And that's just some kind of pressure that you don't need to have on anybody right now. Like, you've got plenty of holes here.
It's not a smart play with the quarterback's exit we're talking about. Look, free agents can get gigs and hook with a team and end up being great and if they get enough opportunities. Tony, I watched Tony Romo do it. I mean, you're talking about
out of college free agents.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's what I'm talking about, out of college. I mean, guys can third round or fourth round, fifth round. I mean, any guy from anywhere, obviously, in the right situation can end up being the guy. But as an organization, you know, you don't draft a guy in the third or fourth round that's that's probably you'd be reaching for him there. That's either a developmental guy or a low ceiling guy, and you don't do that with the expectations of him being your franchise quarterback. Now, if you do it and he's a backup, or you do it and you need depth at that position, and he ends up being better than you think, you don't hold him back. You give him the opportunity. I'm just saying, as an organization, with all the Texans have, all the problems the Texans have from a roster standpoint, from a talent standpoint, from a depth standpoint, there's simply no way I can arrive at using your 67th pick this year in the draft at the quarterback position.
Yeah, someone just texted in, hell no, not in the third, fourth, or fifth. They will never become what we need at quarterback.
I can't argue with that right there either. I'm just saying, in the fourth or the fifth, if one of these guys slide that far, and for whatever reason, through all of your
– Kellen Mond would be interesting in the fourth. If he drops, I don't know if he'll drop that far, but if he drops it, because Kellen thought he was going last.
I think he would be interesting for someone in the fourth.
According to him.
You know, I think he would be interesting for someone in the fourth. I just don't know that that's the Houston Texans. Again, I would not. But if I were Nick Caserio and I graded these guys out, and maybe I had Kellen or any of these guys graded, you know, in a certain round, and they dropped an entire round, and I had a chance to go roll the dice on them, maybe. I mean, I wouldn't be mad at you, but the text you just read is more along the line of my way of thinking is I don't see it this year, man.
You got to have somebody that helps you. And a quarterback doesn't help you on the field at all. Clint Sterner in the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. And five quarterbacks were drafted, not in the top 10, which many thought, but in the top 15. And our quarterback, Clint Sterner, has been where they have been in terms of played in college football, high-level college football, and then played and transitioned into the NFL where they're going. What advice from your travels, what advice do you have for those five? Let's start with Trevor Lawrence, the number one overall pick to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Dear Trevor, take no mess, and it's time to grind. You go in there, you don't care who thinks what about you and about the way you go about business. You go in there on a mission with one thing in mind. You're the leader of the organization. You're going to steer the ship. Guys either get on board with you or they get the hell out. That's it. Mm. What you do is you show up and you grind every single day and see what happens 2-3 years from now. It's going to take a while.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence, he's in a situation in Jacksonville where he's going to need to take some control of things. So take no nothing, and it's time to grind. Duval County in the building here with Trevor Lawrence. Zach Wilson with the Jets. He went number two with your experience. What advice would you give Zach Wilson?
Before you leave Utah and you head to New York.
Provo.
Right? You stop by that Goodwill store, and you give them all them headbands you got. Right?
Yeah, he needs to.
And then you stop by that department store and you go in there and you get you a pair of big boy pants.
Yeah, you're not a two guard.
And get you some of them big boy boots and pull them up real tight, because your ass is going to need them once you hit the ground in New York. Boy, that place has been a tough spot. The last quarterback was seeing ghosts. The ones before the quarterback before him was fumbling off the center's butt. I mean, you got a long way to go and a short time to get there. Zach Wilson, you're going to need it, baby.
Yeah, shoot a call to Chad Pennington to see how he handles things in New York. That's the last quarterback that I can remember. Trey Lance, a lot of talk with San Francisco, who they will get. They went with Trey Lance. What's your advice for the quarterback who is jumping up major talent levels?
Trey Lance, he is the luckiest athlete that got drafted last night in the first round by the 49ers. You are living right, Trey. The only advice I got is trust the system. It's a great system. It's proven to work, both the system of the 49ers business and the offensive scheme on the field. Both of them are elite. You just trust the system. Whenever it's time for you to be inserted into the starting lineup, whether that's from the jump or a year from now, trust that Shanahan's going to make the right decision. And then when you get on the field, trust the system. Don't force things. Don't try to single-handedly win ball games. Don't try to play outside the box, off schedule all the damn time. The system is built for the quarterback to distribute. the quarterback to move the chains with his legs, the quarterback to take as little risk as necessary to win ball games. Trey Lance, you're living right. Trust the system, my man.
And what's your advice for the last two guys, Justin Fields, who went 11 to the Bears, and Mac Jones, who went 15 to the Patriots?
Justin, what'd you do to deserve this, man? Keep your chin up, bub. Keep your chin up. Mac, you won, baby. Once again, culture is a quarterback's best friend. Nobody knows that better than you leaving Alabama. And here you step into as good, if not better, of a culture in New England.
Yeah, I like mostly all the situations for all the quarterbacks. That kid wearing that headband, I'm not sure about him. But we'll continue all the way through. Draft coming up in about 30 minutes, the start of the second round, and 34 picks away for the Texans. We want to hear from you, 713-572-4610. What do you want the Texans to do? We'll tell you what we think they should be doing coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Ah, 34 picks away.
I'm so excited.
25 minutes away from the draft starting. And don't go anywhere. Stay right here. Texans Draft Live presented by Mattress Firm starts right when we get off the air. Texans voice Mark Vandermeer will be directing traffic with draft expert John Harris. Nobody is more dialed in than John Harris. And also our guy Clint Sterner. He's so amped, he's not going hell nowhere. He's staying right up in here. He'll be on as a part of the draft coverage. And make sure you remember this exclusively right here on Sports Radio 610, your chance to hear exclusive interviews with Nick Caserio right after the round, get his first reaction of how he felt about the draft coming up right after the third round. So don't go anywhere. We've got you covered right here on Sports Radio 610. 713-572-4610. All right, it is draft night. The Texans are 34 picks away. Want to hear from you what you think the Texans should do. 713-572-4610. Clint, all right, we're getting up against it. This thing's about to start in 24 minutes. What is it that you think the Texans need to go ahead and hit tonight?
Yeah, look, I think it's really simple, man. When you put a few things together, when you connect the dots, I think one of the priorities is definitely interior defensive line, and I couple that with the fact that last night in the first round of the draft, there were zero. You heard me right. Zero interior defensive linemen taken. That means the best available, all of them. Hell, not just the best. All available interior defensive linemen are still on the board. I'm not sitting here going to tell you that all of them are going to make it past the second round. I would imagine several of them will be gone. But there's a good chance that when the Texans draft at number 67, if they do not trade that pick, if they decide to keep that pick.
Which then, is a real possibility.
Yeah, it's always a possibility. With Trader Nick, there ain't no telling me. He's going to move and shake Trader a little bit. Nick. But if he goes with actually making a draft pick at number 67, I think interior defensive line is going to have a really, really good chance of being in the position that they select. Now, I don't know which one of these guys it could be. I mean, hell, I can't even pronounce half of them, but there's several available, and given the fact that there was no interior defensive lineman taken last night, show I think it's more likely
that's a big deal, right? I'm not sure of any of the positions of need, and there's a lot of them, but the ones that I think take precedent: corner, defensive tackle, defensive end. Maybe you could even look at interior offensive line. I thought it would be hard-pressed for the Texans to be able to find a top-five guy at any of those positions. Well, hell, there's no centers off the board. There's only one guard off the board, and there's no defensive tackles. There's a chance at pick 67 that they don't even move up in one of those spaces of need, that they find a top-five player in the draft at that position. And that was something that I didn't think could be possible for the Texans.
This is a really deep draft in the secondary. This is a really deep draft at the cornerback position. So, look, I mean, if we're 30,000-foot viewing this thing and you say, who should the Texans be looking at, I'm going to put it this way. I don't know what the heck Nick Caserio's thinking, so take this for what it's worth. But when I look at it, interior defensive line, nobody's been taken. There's going to be a very high quality – and when I say that, I mean NFL caliber interior defensive lineman available. There's going to be a corner available because this draft is so deep at the cornerback position. And so when I look at it, you go, hey, Texans, you take the best available, narrowed down between your two biggest needs, D-line and corner. Yep. Take the best available at three in the third round. Take the best available in the fourth round. That's where I sit. We'll see what happens.
You have the expectation that that guy be a starter. You have the expectation by some point in year one that whoever it is that they're taking at 67 be a starter.
Yeah. Look, if you take one of those two positions, a corner or a defensive lineman, if you do indeed decide that's the route that you want to take in the third round, 67th overall pick tonight, with the shape that the secondary's in for the Houston Texans and the shape that the D-line is in, interior defensive line is in. And I don't mean it negatively. I think there's some talented dudes, but they've yet to show it. They've got to be developed. And if you're not in that competition immediately, then you're not a third-round pick. Yeah. I've been around a lot. I mean, there's a lot of, like, third-round quarterback, hey, man, we're going to develop a little bit. I ain't real sure. You know, sometimes there's a third-round tight end. Hey, man, you're not really used to putting your hand in the dirt. You're not used to standing up and running routes. You're asked to do a lot of different stuff. You're asked to retain the entire playbook in passing game and run game. A little bit different, a little bit different monster going from college to pro. There's some positions that you can go, you know, it's better if you sit. It's better if you're a backup. It's better if we limit your snaps. But at corner on this football team, that excuse ain't going to cut it. You're going to have to play immediately. At D-line, there's no excuse. You should be able to, a third-round defensive lineman with the Houston Texans right now should be a starter, yes, but a lot of times a starter at the defensive line position is really overrated. Let's talk contributor. He should be a big-time contributor. You shouldn't be talking about what they did last year with Ross Blacklock, talking about, he played 8% of the snaps or he played 12% of the snaps. He's got to be a major contributor or you don't take him. I'm saying if you don't see him being that guy, a starter at corner or a major contributor inside, then you can't take him.
713-572-4610, text in or call in. What do you think the Texans should do with their draft, especially pick 67, which comes up in 34 picks? So you would say what they had in the third round, they need better than what they got out of Jonathan Grenard.
They need more. I think Jonathan Grenard's going to have a chance to be a really good player. I think Ross Blacklock's going to be a really good player.
But in year one, more.
I think it was BS what they went through last year in a sense of not being ready to play and the scheme being an issue. And for whatever reason, the excuses of why those guys weren't on the field more, given what the guys were doing that were on the field that we were watching, that was BS. So better? More, definitely.
Yeah, more. Yeah. So that's just an understanding. They had a defensive lineman they drafted in Jonathan Grenard, and if they could get more out of that, and hopefully these guys have a chance to be able to give you more in a way that they didn't.
Absolutely.
They didn't last year. I talked to McClain about this earlier, that you could use the Odyssey Rewind feature. He was with us in the entire 4 o'clock hour. Based off what we've known from him with New England and based off what the Texans have done up to this point in the offseason, they've made a ton of moves. Nobody's made more moves in the NFL than Nick Caserio and company. What's your confidence level on what they're going to do over the next 2 days based off what you've seen from New England and based off what he's done thus far as the general manager of the Texans?
Look, I think it's pretty high, man. I mean, I'm not convinced that Nick's going to turn this thing around as quick as everybody would like for him to. And I'm not convinced he's going to make all the popular decisions that we'd all like him to make. I'm not convinced he's going to find a way to keep Deshaun Watson, assuming these allegations and these legal issues he has get put behind him. So it's not always be the most popular choices he's going to have to make. But the one thing that I am pretty confident that Nick Caserio has a pretty good grasp on is building a foundation with the right kind of players and building a culture and holding guys accountable and I feel pretty good about those things. I love the fact that he's got a lot of coaching in his background, and so you would like to think, I don't know this yet, you would like to think that he would understand developing players and how important that is on a day-to-day basis, from how you format practice to how you format off seasons to how much what the attendance looks like in your off season. You know, I think he's got a pretty good grasp of those football things. We'll see if it results in, you know, some major success. But I think building a team to where they're 8-8 pretty quickly, I'm confident that Nick Caserio can get them back to that spot.
If we look where he's got, they got 8 picks between rounds 3 and 7. That is generally built, and I think you said it in round 3, sometimes you can get some real special players. There have been some special players
sure.
that come out of round 3. But generally, that's building the middle of your roster to the back end of the roster. And one thing we have to – leave that point down – but one thing you have to look at and say, boy, he seems to do a good job with that. Last year, I think you could argue the Texans didn't have a punt returner or a kick returner. Now, by the time he's been here, they got like 4 guys that were better than everybody else. And you feel special teams-wise, there's more depth. And you feel like the defensive line that he brought in, and they still need help, but there's more depth. So what we've seen thus far, just in his time here in free agency, he tends to make pretty good decisions, it appears, when it comes to the middle of the roster to the back half of the roster. And that's pretty much what he's going to be drafting sure. through. And I think Texans fans should have a high level of confidence that he'll get guys that make sense and picks that make sense. Unlike maybe what you're used to, like a Kahale Waring as a tryout.
Well, the good thing is, in less than 20 minutes, the second round of the draft cranks up, and the Texans got to pick early in the third, and so we're fixing to find out. And as I said earlier, look, I understand the Texans fans haven't had a whole hell of a lot to get excited about, but today ain't one of those days. You got a third round pick.
You're excited about it.
Hell yeah, I'm excited about it. Get you some cold Coors Light. Call your friends. Call your family. Get them around a TV. Make some memories. Hanging out and seeing if the Texans can add a quality player in the third round. I think there's going to be some there. You know, I don't know how different this is from a normal year, but it looks to me like there's going to be not only some quality NFL caliber players there, but there's a good chance that it's going to be at one of two of the biggest needs on the defensive side of the football. And so you got something to get excited about. You got something to look forward to.
Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Not to bring it down, as you said, to be excited. There's a lot of movement that's going to be happening in the division. The Texans in the second and third round, they have 1 pick. The rest of the division tonight, they have 7 picks in the second and third round. 3 picks for Jacksonville. They've got 3 picks before the Texans make another selection. 1 pick for Indy, and then 3 picks for Tennessee tonight. Those teams, especially Jacksonville, have holes to fill. But that's a lot of picks coming from, especially Jacksonville and Tennessee.
Yeah, there's a bunch of picks with those two teams that the Texans will be competing with, and you know, the interesting thing there is you don't have to wait till the third round to see what the Texans do. I mean, there's plenty of reason to keep an eye on Jacksonville, Indy, and Tennessee, and there's going to be plenty of action. They got picks all up and down. In fact, that like you said, the Jacksonville Jaguars got 3 more picks. They'll have 5 picks before the Texans have their first pick this year, so you'll get a good look at what the Jacksonville Jaguars is going to look like, hell, before you ever get a pick this year. So, again, one more reason to get them bullets on ice, chit-chat with them friends, break a little bread, make some memories.
I mean, Clint is serious about getting these bullets.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Had me a couple last night.
He's serious about getting these bullets on ice. 12 minutes and 30 seconds before the second half, or the second round of the draft starts up. And as we said, you don't need to go anywhere. Stay right here. Texans Draft Live, presented by Mattress Firm. It starts up right after we get off the air at 6 o'clock. Clint will be there. What's up?
Question, what stood out more? Zach's mama? Oh, God. Or Max Walk?
I'll be honest.
More?
Do I need
to? That was our producer, Tyler Milner, panting in the
Oh, Lord.
I've not seen Zach's mother yet.
Oh, my. Google right now, show.
Oh, God. That's,
Because, I mean, it's going to be hard because Max Walk was – that was one of the most ridiculous things I've seen in a long time, that walk with that aggressive.
Well, let me tell you guys something about that walk. The thing that stood out with that walk is how long his arms are and how big his hands are, right? The way he was swinging them things.
Oh, my.
If you're going to toss the rock around the park, it's good to have long arms and big hands.
That's not his mother.
Let me see. I didn't see it. I saw Tyler over there.
There's no way. That's not that man's
mother. That is his mother.
No, it's not. No way.
Hell, he looks just like her.
That looks like his sister.
But I'm just saying, they definitely look related.
Which one
stood out more? Max Walk I thought it was or Max Zach's Walk. Mama?
I struggle because I didn't see his mama until today. So I feel like recency bias has, I mean, she is very attractive.
Wow, how did he pull this
off? It looks like her long hair.
My God, Pops, how did he pull that off? Look.
Well, she's probably younger than she looks. He's probably a little older than he looks, and he's probably got some deep pockets.
Older just means experience.
I didn't want to have to say that, but that's what it feels like.
His pockets are probably banging on his ankles.
Mac Jones, that was ridiculous. And I need to get to the bottom of this. Roger Goodell, he acts like he has the greatest relationship with every one of these guys. Like he's known them for years. Did you see how him and Mac Jones were embracing and shaking it up? Like, he looked like Roger coached him for 4 years. Like, that's how he talked to Saban when he got done with it. He shook him up. They had jokes. Yeah, no, I saw you last Saturday. It was like, what?
I made this point a couple days ago on radio. Like, I'm not about all that love because he's not a – like, the dudes in the league ain't a big fan of Roger Goodell. So why make the spectacle of the hugs and the smiles and the kisses and all that stuff beforehand? And you said you'd be looking. Now all of a sudden you don't like it.
No, I'm not saying I don't like it. It just catches me off guard with how this relationships that he has with them.
Did
like,
you see Micah Parsons, that linebacker that
the Cowboys took?
I thought he was going to squeeze him to death.
Yes,
he picked him up off the ground. I'm like, damn, you're going to break the old man's back.
Like no, it seems like that. Like I would have thought. With Roger Goodell, with those players that get drafted, maybe they've met him two or three times.
Yeah.
But the way that they react up there, it's like they've known Roger Goodell for 3-4 years. Like this Nick Saban. Like Roger's secretly been everybody's offensive coordinator their entire time in college. It is the wildest thing I've ever seen with him. And it's
so Raj.
I'm okay with Max Walk, by the way. Just the long arms, big hands.
That was one of the most awkward things I've ever seen.
No, Clint, you can't.
One of these days, I hope I have a son, and I'd be okay if he has long arms and big hands. I'm just saying.
It was more than the long arms.
And if he walks and people laugh because he looks like an administrator at a high school, that's cool. I love administrators at high schools.
His arms are like an inch and a half shorter than you want.
They're good people. They dress well. I mean, I'd be okay with that, yeah.
You know what I'm okay with?
What's that?
Zach Wilson's mom.
Oh, look at this guy.
Listen, that took me aback. I don't think you should disrespect that man's mother like that.
It's not disrespect. She's beautiful. I'd like to take her to a nice steak dinner.
I wonder, is she the one who's telling him to wear that headband?
I'll do whatever she tells me to do, show.
It's a bit weird in there, man. Will you turn your mic off and stay in there?
Gotta crank this AC down.
Hey.
She's moving to New York, right?
I can see the
right?
screen on your computer in there, man. Turn that PH off, man. You're supposed to be working.
She's definitely moving to New York with her son, right?
You think she's got an OnlyFans?
This conversation's gotten awkward about my man's mama.
I'm just saying, she's moving.
I mean,
she's
I just thought
there.
She was an attractive lady. I can have a conversation about an attractive lady without blowing hard in the
Did
mic.
Did Linda try to move to Dallas?
She would have had I invited her for damn sure. I got a hard enough time blowing
throw hints?
Linda.
I was going to say, did she throw hints while coming down to Dallas?
I got a hard enough time blowing Linda out of my pocket when she comes on vacation, much less moving in. That's my girl, man. Love you,
don't
Mom.
Let this, don't let Love this you, get Mom. Away from
All hey, right. The Texans tonight. Right. I'm going Milton Williams, Louisiana Tech.
That's not bad. Defensive lineman.
Milton Williams. I'm going Louisiana Tech. That's who I'm going with tonight.
I'm going Sean Wade, the cornerback, Ohio State, competitive player, played in big games. I don't know about his makeup speed, but that's a guy that's a corner that I think is a big space of need. Ohio State, if you missed him, he was in a lot of these big games they played. He got ejected 2 years ago. On a late hit on Trevor Lawrence. in the national semifinal. But I like him. So that's one I would look for.
Who are you going with, T? I know you did a bunch of research on these D linemen. Who you got?
I have this sinking feeling that it's going to be Texas A&M quarterback Kellen Mond.
It's unbelievable.
There's no way.
The hate is unbelievable.
You think so? Why why is it a sinking feeling? You're the one who's
third round's too soon, man.
Well, look, on that note, I just want prayers up for the Big 12. I hope you get somebody drafted in the Big 12. Are you kidding me?
Shut up. SEC's overrated.
Oh, yeah, give me that. Oh, okay. Yeah, give me this SEC's overrated stuff and Alabama carries. Okay, that's fine.
It is.
Come on, man. Every conference has a powerhouse. Every conference has a team that wins more games than everybody else.
SEC's overrated.
Big 12. Nobody? Not one in the first round?
They were cheated, man. I'm not real sure who is the Big 12 player that should have been in.
Hey, prayers up for the Big 12, man. I hope you.
There's nobody in Oklahoma that got in there. What the hell is going on?
Texas is back.
Hey, man, quit calling out names. Can we just stick with the Big 12, man?
God, man.
You always get too personal. It's you getting personal with Longhorns, and it's you getting personal with our famous guest, man.
I see the guys, Mark and John, are getting revved up. Clint is hanging in here. 34 picks away, the Texans and Nick Caserio get it going for the first time. First pick tonight. Great job today, Tyler. Clint, great job. He's going to be on with you and the guys. Next, I'm Ron, the show, Hughley, and as always, Houston. We love you, baby. Seemed
impossible. Me and Coors Light and jump off in this pool.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.